Hello and welcome to this week's International Media with me, Clear Broadhurst. Today we'll look at how the media coverage of the US campaign failed to see the coming of Donald Trump's victory. During the campaign, Trump was not, to say the least, popular with America's mainstream and alternative media. For example, more than 200 newspapers supported Hillary Clinton, while Trump received the backing of fewer than 20. Today, journalists voiced their concern, asking themselves what went wrong. Some argue that the very nature of journalism has changed so much since a lot takes place online, with an unprecedented need to bring clicks and shares, it's difficult to match the demand with the reality. Jeff Jarvis is a journalism professor at City University, New York. He says the media failed its primary mission to inform the public.
It is journalism's job to inform the public, and if the public is ill-informed, it's our fault. Now, I don't mean to insult the half of America, or almost half, who voted for Donald Trump by saying that they're all ill-informed, but it certainly is true, number one, that the quality of civic discourse in this country was bad, was ill-informed, was filled with misinformation. Second, I think that we in liberal media, and let me be honest that I'm liberal and I'm in media, we abandoned half the country, the conservative half of the country. They long since said they didn't trust mainstream media, thus they weren't reading us, thus we had no mechanism and means to inform them. And I, believe it or not, believe that the best thing to do now is to try to invest in the creation of responsible, fact-based journalism for conservatives, because we left them, when we created this void, we left the conservatives to go to irresponsible sources like Fox News, Breitbart, Drudge, and some that are far worse. So we've got to work very hard to regain the trust of that half of the country, and the way to do that is by listening to them, understanding their worldview. Only then, when we've gained their trust, can we hope to inform their worldview.
And he points out that both print and television media failed to provide such information.
I don't think that print version journalism is all virtuous. If you're looking for fake news, I would actually argue that the New York Times Hillary Clinton email story was fake news, or at least the use of it to create fake balance was faked. The Associated Press had a bad story about Clinton's foundation. And in full disclosure here, if it's not already obvious, know well that I voted for and backed Hillary Clinton. But television did a lot of awful things, too. Television was certainly worse. One of the worst things television did in America during this election was to hire what we called surrogates. And that is to say, people who represented the campaigns when the candidates wouldn't come on the air. And those people would just basically spew the party line of whatever that candidate said. And the only challenge to what they said was the shouting of the other surrogate. It did nothing to inform the public. And speaking of that, the biggest problem on especially TV news, but across all political journalism, but on TV news, their primary goal seems to be to predict the election. Well, A, they did a bad job of it. They couldn't predict a sunset. And B, predicting the election does absolutely nothing to inform the electorate about the issues and candidates so that they can make wiser choices. So again, we failed at our primary mission, which is to inform the public.
Journalist Adam Johnson says the media was unprepared to cover this campaign.
I think they've been unprepared the whole time. And this is the really scary thing, is that everybody was wrong. Everybody was wrong from the beginning. It was told, first it was a joke. Then it was, you know, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said these outrageous things. There was a lot of pearl clutching. And then there was a sort of, oh, don't worry, Americans won't let it happen. There was this kind of built-in tautology within the liberal classes that they believed that America was fundamentally good and they wouldn't elect Trump because they had elected, you know, Obama, who to them was this sort of saint-like figure. You can go back and look at Slate articles, several of them saying Trump can't win, Trump won't win, don't worry. And they're all wrong. I mean, all the predictions were wrong and the models were wrong, with the exception of, I think, the LA Times. And, you know, the same class is still in power and still has influence. It's similar to Iraq. Like, even though they're all wrong about that, they still had jobs. So they'll continue to be in power and they'll continue to be wrong. So, you know, they've underestimated him for 18 months. My guess is we'll continue to do so.
Furthermore, he says the media failed to prioritize what was relevant to the public.
You see this with all this, with a lot of coverage of the transition. There's all this sort of smug, oh, the transition's not going well. Oh, you know, the Trump presidency is looking like a disaster. It's like, guys, you've been saying this for 18 months. Like, you have no credibility. You know, he doesn't play by the rules. And so by their metric, he's failing. But look, the amount of people who care about the fluidity of Trump's transition team could fit into an Arby's. Like, no one really cares. So I think they focused on things that most people don't care about. And they've, again, you saw this during the campaign, right? What do we talk about for 3 or 4 months? We talked about Russia, and we talked about, well, that, I mean, that was it. We talked about Russia. It's like, no one cares about Russia. They actually asked people what their top 10 foreign policy concerns were, and Russia didn't even crack the top 10. So there's been this, I think, this beltway bubble of misprioritization. And I fear that that'll continue, that people will still criticize Trump on terms that most people don't really care about.
Johnson argues that what is daunting right now is the fact that the media is starting to normalize Donald Trump.
There's basically two compelling reasons why people want to, quote, normalize Trump. And I lay it out in my piece. I say the first is access. So he's going to be in the White House and reporters are going to need access to the administration. So it's not like people who are beat reporters can just tell him to go, you know, to go to hell. They have to report him. The second thing is cognitive dissidence. I think we just generally don't want to think that our president is this proto-fascist who has all these vile ideas. So we kind of start to rationalize in our head, oh, he's not that extreme. Oh, he's not really going to do this. He's not really going to do that. Maybe we can work with him on X or work with him on Y. And I think that those two factors, I think, are slowly kind of seeping in as Inauguration Day gets closer.
Johnson says that it's important to draw the line rather than try to, quote unquote, do everything to work alongside Trump.
His policies on paper, a lot of what he's proposing is a radical extreme. His idea of deporting 11 million largely Latino immigrants, his position on using torture, his position on having a Muslim band. These are things that are I think, significant enough radical departures where the line has to be drawn on the sand. And the line was drawn on the sand by, I guess, one would call it the general liberal media for over 18 months. And now that he's been elected, which I think everyone's kind of still in shock over, there's a tendency to kind of say, okay, well, we have to live with them. And I guess what I argue is that while politicians, because of the way or the nature of continuity of power, have to kind of accept Trump, I don't really think there's any law of nature that the press does. If he was bad in many ways before November 8th, he didn't automatically become good now that he's the president. And that I think the energy should be used to support, to have solidarity with the protests and with efforts to undermine his agenda, as opposed to these sort of liberal platitudes about working with him and coming together.
Jeff Jarvis says that now more than ever, it's important to keep tails on Trump.
I spoke with a journalist in Argentina and asked her advice about how to cover, shall we say, populists. And she warned that journalists will get cut out of access. And I would say we should never worry about that. We should be reporting from the outside better than from the inside. She warned that we'll get attacked from the highest office in the land. We've already seen that happening. Donald Trump was already going after the New York Times from his vaunted Twitter. And she also said that her one bit of advice was investigate, investigate, investigate. And she repeated that again. Investigate. We have to keep on Donald Trump, not presuming that we give him a chance. He has revealed his character. He has revealed his history. It is critical that we continue to investigate Trump and his Vice President Pence and, you know, the kinds of people he appoints, like Steve Bannon, the head of Breitbart, which is a horrendous alt-right, white nationalist, bigoted site. So to stand back and say, well, let's see how they do. Let's give them a chance. Is clearly not responsible journalism. We are the skeptics on behalf of the public, and we damn well better be skeptical now more than ever.
Jarvis says that the media is unprepared for the coming years, but that it gives a reason to rethink the job and how to do it.
The media is as unprepared to cover this president as this president is to be a president. We don't know what to do with someone like this, but we saw this in the election as well. My friend Jay Rosen, a brilliant professor at New York University, says that asymmetry fries the circuits of political journalism. That is to say that we're so used to seeing presidential candidates operate a certain way to certain norms, and then we cover them the way we've always covered them. Well, we clearly have someone now like none before, and we have to change what we do. We have to rethink fundamentally how we do our journalism. That means how we view him and his people and their actions. It also means how we communicate with the public. You know, we left, there's a lot of brouhaha right now in the U.S. around fake news on Facebook and Twitter and such. Well, the truth is that movements masquerading as media used the tools of Facebook and Twitter to create memes that got passed around like crazy, but we in media didn't match that with truth and facts. Instead, we told people, well, you have to come to my site. You have to read my article in 1,000 words. And if you read it and aren't informed, well, that's not my fault. We did our job. We can't sit back like that anymore. We have to get into the thick of the discussion and conversation in America. We have to bring journalism to the people.
Few saw Trump's victory coming, and the media today sees this as a wake-up call to change the way journalists report, inform, and deliver the news. This brings us to the end of this week's magazine. Tune in next time for another edition of International Media.